Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. You are in for a treat tonight. We got a show for you. We're going to talk about other ethnicities who have guilt. So everyone enjoy that. Look forward to that. And without further ado, George, roll that beautiful footage.
Abby. We are having technical difficulties. Oh, like seriously.
Okay. Well, everybody, welcome to CB and the Boys. I'm CB.
I'm just going to sing.
And we have... and Roger and Mimi are in the building.
Mm-hmm.
George stepped
out
of the studio, but he shall return.
Yes,
so
we're having some technical difficulties. And whenever we're having we drink.
You know what? That's what I love about you, girl. You read my mind. You understand me.
We
you're my drinking spirit animal.
Okay. So what happened was.
Right.
But it's all good because that's what happens. See, all this stuff is man-made. Computers are man-made. We are God-made. It's all this stuff. And there's going to be some flaws.
Imperfect machines made by imperfect people. I say that all the time. See,
that's
people get to thinking because you hit a power button, it's going to come on and work perfectly. And you forget about the yucks that made it.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yes. So we are in the building. We're all alive. Thank you, God. You know, we are accounted for, so that's a good thing. So I'm happy to see you guys on here tonight because there's so much happening in the world that we just never know when the card is going to be pulled.
Yeah. Speaking of which, actor Matthew McConaughey, he traveled to Uvalde, Texas. Turns out that's his hometown. And he spoke at the White House.
How does that happen? Really? How does that happen? I've never even heard of
Andy Baldwin. He went home to check on his hometown. What do you mean?
I'm just saying, like, nobody's ever even heard of that. Yeah, right. Like, that whole thing, like, nobody's ever even heard of it until now. And it happens to be one of the most beloved characters, happens to be from there. I don't know. It's kind of some strange
irony.
Right,
that's like me being one of the, like, the most famous actresses, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm from Philadelphia, and I got parents in Chattanooga, and my people are in Phoenix, and there's mass shootings everywhere. Come on.
I know, but
it's
just crazy
don't think that he would fake something like that. I mean, those things are very
No.
I'm just saying, but
it's
such a coincidence, you know?
He was about gun reform, so it wasn't that. I'm just saying how weird is that nobody's ever heard of damn Uvalde. That's all I'm saying. Of all the places,
But Uvalde, there's only like 16,000 people in that place, you know.
There's a lot of towns and stuff that we've never heard of, but it doesn't mean they don't exist. I mean, took something like this, I guess, to put it out there, and it's unfortunate. But he was
bring your ass back.
Nope, I'm coming back. I'm coming back into StreamYard.
Bring yourself back to the back office.
If y'all would, step into the office.
You on timeout. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
step into the principal's office. Y'all ain't paying attention.
Yeah, we all got to step out and step back in, guys.
But he was talking at the White House, and he was talking about how we really, really, really need gun reform because we need background checks. We need to know if some psycho is going to be wielding a weapon. We need to know that, number one, and my thing is, they're talking about changing the age for someone to buy a gun. So you have to be 21 to buy an AR-15. My thing is this. What civilian needs an AR-15? That is a military-issued weapon. What civilian needs that?
Well, none, technically, but if you give people the access, they're not going to turn it down. That's like anything.
Of course.
You know, if you give someone unlimited currency or you give someone access to anything, look, who's going to say, no, that's not for me? Like, people don't really have that type of self-control. And of course, the same people that you just spoke of, the idiots and the village idiots and things like that, the inmates are running the asylum. Therefore, you know, they're the ones that want this, so they're not going to vote it down. You know, it's not really the people that are, you know, riding the bus to school or to work or to you know, things like that. It's not those people that are wanting this and paying for all of that, you know, here and there, but that's not who made those rules. And so you're not going to get the reform you're looking for because, you know, you're talking down when you ought to be aiming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty simple.
But does that mean because you have access or you can get it, doesn't mean you should. And no civilian needs an AR-15, period.
I think there's a lot of so-called air quotes patriots that would argue you down. But here's my thing.
It's a hobby. For one, it's a hobby gun. It's an assault rifle, but it's also a hobby gun.
I'm not going to agree with that. That's bullshit. I wish a motherfucker would gun. That's what that is.
Right. That's what I'm saying. When you say a hobby gun for an 18-year-old.
That's a little different. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to go with that. Like, there are certain things. Troy's in the house. What's going on, fam? Oh, no, it's Trey this time.
Trey.
What up, Hampton?
Trey Hampton. How you doing?
But a hobby, that's like, you know, long range or, you know, something novelty. That ain't no damn hobby, Joe. You know what that is. That's called, I wish a motherfucker would come to my house, blah, 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 blah. But here's what I do think, and I thought about this on the way up here where I am. You know what? Well, you know how a lot of countries make people, it's mandatory. You serve 2 years in the military. I think if you're going to go into things like that, and I don't know that it would necessarily change people's mindset, but I do think that experience and certain types of training might maybe slow up or alter certain people that have these delusions of grandeur about, again, being mavericks and being these heroes that run out there and do whatever, because you really, really do get to see what happens. Now, I personally am not military material, but like I said, it's amazing how everybody goes, I'm not crazy, but for those crazy people out there, they should. But I do think that there has to be some way to regulate. You know, not sure what that might be. I mean, because, again, you know what, man, the wheels are off this thing. This shit's running downhill with no brakes. You're not gonna get it back. You're not going to rein this animal in. You know,
right.
Those people, the same people we're talking about, love to say, come take it from my cold, dead hands. I'd love to see them cold and dead. But unfortunately, that's not the case. These are the people that are doing that. Again, cowards, mostly cowards. I'm not saying I'm anti-gun or anything like that. I'd be a huge hypocrite. But again, you know, I don't have a chip on my shoulder that causes me to, you know, kill innocent people or children or old people or anything like that. It's just, you know, I think I'm within the normal spectrum most times. So
I think that the people
that
are selling these guns at these gun shops should be just a little bit more, I don't know, intrusive when it comes to, you know, these young kids going in and just being able to buy a gun. That's how I'm looking at this whole thing.
Well,
like, if you're walking
do you
with
think
your dad
they should be held accountable? So, like, if a parent, you know how it used to be, okay, in certain countries, in Asian countries, if a child does something wrong or messes up in school or whatever, or commits a crime, the family gets incarcerated. The family gets locked up. They pay the penalty. Do you think it should be something like that over here? Because I think accountability will go way the hell up.
I think they should be fined. I think, if anything, they should get like a really stiff fine. I don't think that's incarcerating, because this is the thing. At the end of the day, you're talking about it's a business, and these are considered adults because you're, you know, you're 18. I don't know. Maybe you should just be like maybe 21 plus or 25 plus. I don't know.
But you know what the bad part about it? I love saying this phrase because it's so very true. 21 is just a slightly less stupid 18-year-old. I mean, you really just don't figure out who you are until you get you get north of 25, 27. And I mean, it's relative, but honestly, I get what you're saying. Damn,
30.
An 18-year-old, pretty much, pretty close to it. And I know I wouldn't have wanted to hear that when I was 21, but I also, you know, I get it now. But the fine, I think the stiff fine plays, I think that may play a big part, because you've got families that, hell, it might as well be jail or indentured servitude, because if you give a $100,000 fine to a family whose child went out and killed or shot someone or multiple people, you know, you pretty much set them back anyway. I think that would definitely cause some people to start getting back into that, you know, village concept, really keeping an eye and a hand on your child as opposed to letting the streets and school raise them. There's something to that. I think there is something to
that. Of course. So, guys, I think that we are all back now. I think that the technical difficulty is over. And, Phoebe, I'm going to turn it back over to you, my sister, so you can restart.
There you are. He's wearing George's intro.
Look, and it's actually 11:11, so it's a really good spiritual time for a restart. So let's go. Let's go.
All right. There you go.
Welcome to CB and the Boys with Crystal, CB Booker, George, Butch Boy, Homie, Roger Hawkins, and Mimi Acosta, coming live and direct from YouTube, Facebook, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, and Apple Podcasts, bringing you hot topics, interviews, live entertainment, and fun. Every Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. And now, prepare to get charged up with a whole lot of fun from PB and the
George, been in the lab. You've been in the lab. All right. That was dope. That was cool, though.
Just a little bit.
George been in the lab. Right. I like it. Yeah.
All right.
That's cool. What, you know?
Hey, you see that
and
came
so
in? That Trey's
so
comment that came
knows.
In?
They are watching. All right. So shout out to Inspiration before we move further. She, as we know, she is on her weight loss journey, and she has lost over 100 pounds. She is now in a size 18. And almost in a 16, because she has room in the 18. So in a couple of months, she'll be in a full-blown 14, 16. She is doing
That's my
amazing.
Girl. Go ahead, girl.
So shout out to Inspiration.
Yay!
Yeah.
I like her. That's my girl. She's got great energy. I love her energy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. And we'll definitely have her back on so we can talk about her journey thus far. And but she's doing great. Set her goal, and she did it. So I'm really proud of her.
That's what's up.
Very
That's
proud
what's up. No doubt.
And soon I'm about to embark on a journey myself. I will no longer be that backpack girl. I'm changing all of this. As I was shopping for dresses for the gala this weekend, I realized I'm fat. Sometimes it's a cold, harsh reality. It's like you know you're fat, but then it takes like trying on 10 dresses to let you know you're really fat. So I'm really going to make a concentrated effort to take my own weight loss journey. I'm joining a gym. I will be dying a slow death for about a week, maybe two, possibly a whole month, you never know. And then I'll build my stamina up and, you know, come back to the living. But I'm dedicated to this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get, I won't say a beach body, but I'm going to get somebody. At least it won't be a beached whale, which is where I'm at right now. So I am very, very committed. So that's what my name
is. If I may jump in. See, I got to jump in because all of that right
Cheers
there sounded half good and half fucking shit. Anyway, this is the thing, sis. First of all, I hate that word fat. I like the word juicy and sexy and voluptuous and gay, you know how I feel about that. But, you know, knocking down some towns and getting yourself right and making that lifestyle change needs to kind of like be the words and not like I'm fat, a whale, I'm this, I'm that. We're changing all that shit. I'm just letting you know that right now we're going to work at ourselves. And we're going to start with self. So what we're going to do is we're going to get in the gym. We're going to drink plenty of water. We're going to, you know, change our eating habits. Maybe not kill some stuff, but maybe just minimize on how much of it we eat. You know what I'm saying? Because I have gone from making big plates to making little bowls. Let me just make a little bowl. Let me just get a taste of this and a taste of that. And eat
so
a couple times a day and
nutshell,
not starve yourself, you know?
What you just said to Crystal is if you say that about yourself again, you're going what?
I'm going to whoop that ass.
Yeah. George is button happy today.
Where's the disclaimer? Where's the disclaimer? We got to put that up. My bad, because we're just going. We're just going. We got so much to talk about tonight. We're just going.
Yep, that's okay.
Warning, the following video contains explicit language, which may be offensive to some viewers or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only.
No.
There we go.
Asking thou shall receive.
This is after hours, so y'all already know. We're going to say some things. Oh, yeah, I said it, management.
I'm proud of her, though. I'm proud of her. And she's on this journey. But the biggest thing, you know what really impresses me? Is that she's serious enough and she feels enough about it that she got on the show and said it publicly.
Yeah.
Or she didn't hit us in the text group and say, "Hey y'all, look, this is what happened and this is what I'm gonna do."
We had a conversation about this yesterday. I just didn't think that she was gonna be like, ta-da. Well, you know what, ta-da,
right.
Shit, I'm with you.
You know what though? My heart's out to you, because props to you, because props to you.
I wish you luck.
I'll be there for you, anything you need.
I'm in it with you, sis. I'm in it with you. I already told you.
Well, I ain't saying shit till my segment, so y'all can keep on moving. Y'all can throw all y'all accolades and shit out as you want. Y'all kiss my ass. Y'all ain't going to ruin my segment, fuckers.
Okay, well, you know what? I need a sip. To hell with my segment.
I'll get you this. But it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, yeah, I need to address one thing.
What
the heck is Teresa Wednesday? I did not get that joke. Explain.
No. You started it. I just finished it. That's all I'm going to say about that. See?
Oh.
And you live where you should know what that word means. You live where you should know what that word means. I know. Mimi knows. George isn't, you know.
I don't.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay, for the people out there, in English, ¿cómo se dice chorizo? I know that was sexy. Oh, now she wants to lose. Shut up. You suck. You know, she's too late. You're terrible. You're the worst.
You know,
oh, my God, dude. See, I'm trying to keep it casual.
I'm sipping into my second.
What'd you say?
Y'all over there drinking and shit. So, anyway, so I'm doing this platinum 100% agave tequila. That is what.
Wait, hold on. Don't do that to George. Don't do that to George.
What? Why?
Don't do that.
It's Mimi Street Special. Mimi, let him know what you're sipping on.
Oh, jeez.
Agave tequila. I'm sorry. You guys already had to have known that I already started before the show. But anyway, having me some tequila. Look, this is the thing. This is what I'm going to say. We have had over, it was what, like 8-9 mass shootings over the weekend. My condolences to all the family and friends for all of the victims, and all, just my condolences to everybody. And I'm taking an agave tequila shot for all of them. This is where I'm going with it.
So you're right.
So, yeah, that's where we are on this evening. So, like I said, I'm very happy to see the four of us here tonight. And shout out to Trey Hampton and Asset Management.
Always with us.
Hello, hello. I'm going to be nerd girl tonight. So.
That's okay.
Okay. Do what you do, Velma.
Do what you do,
what,
baby.
What you got, G?
What y'all drinking?
That's how you're supposed to say it, too.
Oh, what y'all drinking, Smokey?
George, you are not
drinking
no damn bottle of water.
High quality H2O.
You got something
to get
up early? Break it out.
I didn't have time to stop. I've been out on the episode today, and, I mean, I barely made it back. I barely made it back in time for the show as it is. You know, I had I had some things going on.
It's all
know.
Good. Yeah, because I hit him up. I was like, yo, you in yet?
Yeah, I saw that. I got you, brother. I got you, though. I got
so,
you.
So, my thing is, I've been out all afternoon dealing with this. Bam.
Hey, bam.
The new
CBO.
New
CBO,
baby. Thanks to the wifey.
Wow.
Okay, so hey, how about you keep it up right this time, sweetie?
Shut up, stupid.
What's that supposed to mean? Does it mean that it's first pause that something happened to it? Or what?
Because I wrecked my last one.
Right, he needs to keep his ass upright. He knows what I mean. Right, do your thing,
look,
brother. Do your thing.
You know you know how sometimes people just look different on like, you know, TV or the screen or like even like, you know, when they come on our show, whatever. And I've only seen George's wife maybe once or twice. When we all get together, I think the woman that comes and punch Roger really hard in the freaking stomach, I'm going to know that that's her.
Yeah. You know,
first of
it's
all,
funny
you
want to
hurt her
hand.
Second of
is
all.
Is this possible?
Yeah.
It is a possibility.
Yeah. Hey, Barbie know her big ass can't catch me. Tall as she is. I stay in shape so I can outrun her. Nick ain't catching me.
She's going to kick your ass for real.
So,
that's cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
I've been dealing with that all day. Now I'm $500 a month broker.
So that looks
like
you're cruising. It looks like you're cruising, right, George? This is not some, I don't know what you were doing before that you crashed, whether you were being a freaking Fast and Furious.
It was almost the same, except it was all black.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was basically the same, except it was all black. Except this one, the only difference is this one, is a CVO model. The CVO is the best car you can get. It's fully loaded. Comes fully loaded with everything. I mean, heated seats, heated hand grips, everything.
It's a waffle iron. It's got an espresso machine. It's got a Keurig on that bitch.
It's got a smoker. Did you see the smoker in the back? Look, it's a smoker in the back. It's a smoker back there. That's what I'm telling you.
It's making hot wings and links and shit.
That thing got it. Hey, I'm gonna tell you that thing got everything. It's got everything but air conditioning, and it's got that too if you go fast enough. And it's a CVO.
They ain't say you can't. They ain't say you can't eat and drive. Don't drink and drive. You can eat and drive. Okay?
That part.
Eat
that
and
part.
Ride. I love it. I love it.
That's what's up though. Enjoy your summer, man. Mm-hmm.
CB, what we got, baby? What we got? We got a lot.
On it. Was she drinking?
Hold on. What are you drinking, CB?
Oh, what am I drinking? Oh, what the heck am I drinking?
I saw you drinking something. It looks orange. Looks like gin and orange juice.
It's Smirnoff Ice. Oh, it's the screwdriver. I'm drinking a screwdriver.
Oh, shit. Go ahead, sis. Ew. Okay, Brother Roger. I know you got something good over there. What you got?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the road, so I have to kind of take it light. So I'm doing a little, but I always bring the good stuff with me. So I got a little couple of small vials of my single barrel, little Gentleman Jack going with me. You know, I don't go too far without Uncle Jack. So
single barrel ain't no joke.
We keep it nice. Yeah, hey, single barrel's real, ain't it? Single barrel,
yes,
let you know.
Is.
Good stuff. Good
stuff. Y'all see me looking around, looking a little confused. Don't just ignore me, okay? We got like thundering and lightning going on outside, and I'm like right by the glass, right? So I'm just like,
hey, look,
you know,
I just had that.
Right.
That's what threw off my whole day. We had tornado here last night.
Ooh.
Storms.
Damn, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Tornado.
I'm glad
I'm glad
I sold my trailer.
It hit the ground at I-35 and 95th Street. And it went straight, like, I swear to God, it was like somebody was driving. It went straight down 95th Street all the way to State Line. And
how close is that to you?
Really?
About 5 minutes.
Gosh,
it was about 5 minutes from my
house. Than I would have thought. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, from I-35 all the way to State Line on 95th Street.
God hates Kansas.
It did. I didn't know to stop at State Line.
Sorry, not a pilot. Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
What a message.
Message.
That's
we got
crazy.
A message.
Message.
Is the message for me, or is the message for team?
Right.
Oh, okay.
We have a message for Rebel Without a Cause.
We were talking about drinking.
What are you talking about over here? Muy chingon it, boy. That's what I'm teaching you. I got boy dreams. Go to bed.
You have a concoction of things going on over there, Roger. I see the little bottle. I see the bear. I see the. You got some mixes going on over there.
I just felt like having, you know, a little bit of Belgian white today too. So yeah, I'm going international right now. I don't know. It is what it is. It's been a long week. It's going to get longer.
I'm international with you. I got the
here
crown and coke going on here. I got the tequila going on over here.
Come on, you guys
know how I do on Wednesday. We do it all.
Yeah, see, she got tequila. We got chorizo. Look, but we just taking this south of the border.
Pump day.
Maybe out.
Pump day. Hey. Yeah,
exactly.
For all my people in Texas, we are praying and loving, okay?
No diggity, no diggity.
Check it out. We're going to take a quick pause for the calls. And when we come back, Roger, you got anything for us this week when we come back?
As a matter of fact, I do. I mean, don't do as I say, not as I do, but I do.
All right, we're going to take a quick pause for the call.
Hold on it.
Stuff like that.
Hey everybody, let's get together and feel all right with Stevie and the Boys radio show. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, our free music, conversation, motivation, and laughter, and a whole lot of fun. What's up?
And without further ado... Oh yeah, Boys Tips, Roger Hall.
I love it. All right, check it out. So in honor of my girl doing her thing and getting on that journey, like everybody has at some point, I'm going to throw out a couple of things. But let me start by commenting on what everybody else commented on first. First and foremost, yes, congratulations, and I am proud of you for the first step is admission. It really is. I don't have a problem with throwing it out there and going, see, what's funny is, words like big and fat are like four-letter words to women, even though they're three-letter words. Those are like, you know what? It is what it is. If you're tall, you'll say you're tall. If you're short, you'll say you're short. Now, I agree with Mimi when it comes to the whole, the rest of it, running down that road and running yourself down. No, that is uncalled for. And I get what you're saying. What you're saying is, hey, I'm owning up to it. So, again, big ups. But, yeah, it is what it is. I will disagree with my family. I don't like cutesy makeup, change the word, because it takes away from the real issue. You know, we tend to go, we don't say, you know, I'm bald. We say I'm hair recessive. We don't say I'm short. We say I'm height deficient. Bullshit, you're short. So call it what it is. But that being said, you know we all got your back, and obviously you know, I'm a phone call or text or whatever away. So whenever you're not sure which direction to go, you know, after you get done with your initial, you know your boy's right here. Now, that being said, you know, it'll make my, you know, I always think about everybody when I'm doing my segments because I want everybody to get better, you know, no matter what part of your journey you're in. Very beginning, you've been going through it for years, you're right in the middle because, you know, again, I've been at each point. So we're definitely going to have a lot of specialized stuff to do. And, you know, now that I know where you are, yo, Blade Brown, your ass is mine. Because, see, I'll be right on over there. You know, I'm going to talk to your trainer. I'm going to slide up in there one day and be looking at you like this at the gym and say, what are we doing this week? So be prepared for that. That's cool. I'll be right there with you. Pour some water on your ass or bring flowers to your grave. Either way, I got your back, baby. But that being said, check it out. You know, my kid, of course, because, you know, children don't have anything better to do than to discover everything, actually brought a really cool app to us. It's called Yuka. Now, I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but really what it does is Y-U-K-A. I'm not getting paid or anything. I'm just saying she brought it to our attention. Y-U-K-A, I don't know. But you can literally look up the, you know, the inner workings, the ingredients, the makeup of anything on the planet. You know, hell, you could probably put in a meteorite and it would tell you. So it really gives reviews is what it does. I don't know how legit they are, but it seems to pretty much run the gamut all the way across from, you know, 0 out of 10 to 10 out of 10. And it might surprise you, a lot of the products that we do use on a daily basis, you know, kind of get poor reviews. I'm not saying it's law, but I do think it's a really cool an interesting app to put in some of the stuff that we use, whether it be, you know, facial products or whether it be, of course, food and things like that. Because now that you're getting to this point, CB, you're going to understand that you find there are a lot of hidden calories in a lot of things. There's a lot of bad stuff, and we all know that, but we don't pay a lot of attention to it. I do. I read labels all the time. Because you'll look up and think, oh, hey, this isn't too bad, and the first couple of ingredients are sugar and salt. And anytime you see the first couple of ingredients be those two things, or if it's a long-ass name that you can't pronounce, it ain't natural, which means it's probably something you should look up what it does, where it comes from, how it's made. I mean, all of these little things are going to lead to your success. They really will, because we get caught up in it's quick, it's easy, it tastes good, all this other stuff. But unfortunately, usually nowadays, especially in America, America is the worst when it comes to letting shit slide. I mean, you can say, listen, only one out of three camels died when we used this on them. But you know what? It's safe for our people to eat. I mean, that's America, baby. And don't get me wrong. We're all kind of sipping on a little bit of not so good. But we'll talk right. moderation another day. We've done that before, but you get my point. If you love to eat snack cakes in your cupboard every day, rest assured that's not a good thing. The reason they last so long, preservatives. It's a known fact yeah. that morticians and embalmers use like a third of, and this is kind of macabre, but they use a third of the embalming fluid they once used, like, say, 60 years ago, because humans are so well-preserved already because of what we eat. It's a flat-out fact. So that alone mm-hmm. should tell you something. You know, look at the experiments with McDonald's hamburgers and fries and shit. Those things have been in the attic or wherever for, like, 30 years. Never deteriorated. Mm-hmm. That should tell you something. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So, anyway, check out that app. See if you like it. There may be other ones like it. But anything that gives you information on what's really in your food is going to help you. And again, we talked about that, and Mimi brought it back up again today, just the whole moderation thing. That's the number one place you can begin, and you can get away with cutting weight without doing anything extra. So now when you do work out, it's extra, extra. It's portion control. I talked about grazing a little bit. I've talked about a couple of different variations of things I do, depending on what I'm, you know, working towards. So we're going to have a lot of information for you. We're going to ride this out with you. We're going to make sure you don't fail. And most importantly, accountability. If you don't want me to hold you accountable, don't tell me anything. Don't say that because one thing we're going to do, so, hey, yeah. On the days you don't want to hear it, we're going to ask you about it. On the days you really right. want to hear it, we're going to ask you about it. So, right. you know, let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah, you know, you're great now. You're going to be better. So, you know, yeah. that's really about it for today. Just kind of, you know, throwing that out there. Maybe, let's, you know, start to do your research. Everybody out there, do your research.
yeah.
what's going on, Freddie Fred? Freddie's hollered out to us. So what's going on, brother?
It's Freddie in the house.
And just so you guys know, I counterbalanced my bad habit by working out for 2 hours before this show. So, you know, I'm not that big of a hypocrite. Not about this anyway.
I do have a question.
I earned it. So
in the working out realm, how long can I expect to die a slow death? And about when should I notice my stamina getting stronger and building up?
That's kind of a loaded question because everybody's different. Everybody's different. So here's a if you want to get into like numbers or scientific fact or whatever, anything you do today, you will start to reap the benefits of roughly within 7 to 10 days. So don't expect it tomorrow or the next day. But you have to understand, this is why we work out a muscle group in particular no more than once every 48 hours, 72 at the very, very max, so that you can stay in what's called hypertrophy. That means your muscles are still growing. That being said, if you're consistent and doing what you're supposed to, you may not see all the wondrous results you want, but in 7 to 10 days, your body will actually receive the effects of what you did that first workout. Now, when you start feeling better, that's up to you up here. This is what tells you what to do. This tells you you love it or you hate it. This tells you you can go another few sets or you can't. So this is everything to you. And so I can't tell you when you're going to, you know, you're going to stop dying, your slow death and things like that, because I've been working out for 4 decades, and there are still days when I'm like, why am I here? But I never turn around and walk away, no matter how bad I don't want to be there. Then there are days when I'm ready to go. No matter what, when I get done, my body feels more clean. It feels better because, of course, we all have vices and bad habits. And once you go purge you come away feeling that much better, even if you're a little sore or you're a little, I mean, yeah, that's a normal thing to do. You haven't done a lot of this in a long time. So, of course, it's going to take a little getting used to, but there are statistics out there. You can look them up that say you can become, quote, unquote, positively addicted, or you can get into a routine where you really want to go after a certain amount of time. Now, some books will tell you 21 days. Some will tell you 41 days. Some will tell you 60. I can't tell you what's going to happen for you, but all I can tell you is that you have to drive up here. This drives everything else. If anything else tells this what to do, you're doing it bad backwards, and you have to be the general. So, but again, if you're not sure, just keep asking. Is this cool? Is it not? Because I guarantee you, your body's far more capable than you give it credit for. You know, it's just we don't like being uncomfortable, but that's what causes growth. You make your muscles uncomfortable, they grow. So there you go. Discomfort, baby.
Yes, sir. I haven't worked out since I played sports in college, in high school. So I'm like.
So then
get ready to. That's not sugarcoated. In the beginning, get ready to brace the pain. Once you first go through your serious sets of workouts, within a couple of days, you're gonna ache. It's gonna happen, and if you
that's
don't
gonna happen
ache,
for about like a week
it depends. Everybody's body
different.
Is different, but here's the thing, the aching and pain are a good thing, because if you're not having that problem, then you're not
doing
anything. Because, first of all, you have to understand, when you work out muscles, you're actually, what a lot of people don't realize is that you're actually tearing them down. You're actually tearing muscles down. And then what happens is when they reheal stronger than they were before.
They're called micro tears.
Your muscles don't come back. If you tear
not
them,
as quickly,
torn.
No. Now, okay, wait a minute. Now, I know you've seen the 60 and 70-year-old bodybuilders, and these sisters are bad. As a matter of fact, Jada Pinkett's mom was one for her eye thin. So don't give me that. No, you don't recover as quickly, but don't say you don't bounce back. Now, I'm going to kind of piggyback a little bit of what George said, but I'm going to pull it to the left a little bit. You're right. You're not high school or college anymore, so you do have to be very, very careful when you first start. I would suggest, if I were going to train you, I would say we would do a lot of warming up and a lot of slow, static stretching for a while, because I wouldn't put weight on anything for you. I'd use very little resistance for a very long time, because the one thing I always prided myself in when I was training people and when I was coaching for a long time is very, very, very seldomly did anyone get hurt. I don't care about national championships or anything like that. I love the fact that people almost never got injured when I trained them, or no matter what we were doing, track and field, volleyball, in the gym, because I'd rather go methodically, slowly, than to jump you into something now you can't come back for a week or two. You did nothing. I get that you're going to be sore. George is right. You're going to feel it. You're doing things you haven't done in a long time. But there's a difference between pain and injury. That's an old phrase. What coach say to you, George? Is it pain or injury? Why, coach? Because pain you can practice.
What's the difference?
If you're injured,
if pain, you can keep going. If you're injured, we got to call the hospital.
But the truth is, yeah, it's gonna hurt. And if you walk out there and get out there and do a couple of things, and you're like, I'm in pain. Hey, stop talking. Don't even talk. But yes, you do have to listen to yourself. But there are ways to check your target heart rate. There are ways to kind of monitor where you are so that you don't take yourself into a critical zone. And again, this is not a sprint. As much as I hate to say that I'm a sprinter, this is a marathon. So don't expect to be, you know, ready to go in 3 weeks or even in 3 months. Listen, how long have you been out of this? You just said since high school or college, right? Okay, then. don't expect this to come back to you. Right. So don't think it's going to come back to you in 30 days. The thing is, you're going to be better, and you're going to, in that 30 days, if you stay consistent, you're going to be amazed at how your cardiovascular improves, your breathing's going to improve, you know, your endurance, just going place to place and doing more things. All of that will absolutely improve. That's going to happen first. You rebuild from the inside out, believe it or not.
Right.
See, we all want to see ourselves looking tight and right in the mirror. You rebuild inside out. What's up?
And let me clarify also and put this out there. My challenge to you is to just make it past the pain stage, because I don't want you to think you're going to constantly feel pain, because you're not.
You're not.
Starting out,
mm-hmm.
you're going to feel pain for a while. You're going to feel some pains for a while as you work different areas of your body. But that's to be expected. But guess what? If you continue and you push through them and you follow a program, you get a program and you stick with the program, guess what? Those pains are going to go away. And when those pains go away, guess what? You just went past your first step. That's your first milestone. Get past that and keep going. That's your first milestone. Now the pain part is over. What comes past? What comes with that is the discipline part, and to push through and make yourself. You got to set yourself goals. I mean, of course, there's always a long term goal, but set yourself tiny goals first. Short term goals. Hit those goals. And my first thing, my first challenge to you is make that first goal. Getting past the pain stage, because it's going to be hard mentally.
Agreed.
Physically and mentally. Because mentally, you're going to be like, man, fuck this shit. But
I definitely want you to reach out to me on your short-term goals. I have so many things that are built up here. I could help you with weekly, monthly, damn near hourly. I would really love for you to stay on me about short-term goals. And again, if it's every Tuesday, if it's every week, if it's just checking in, I'm a numbers guy, so I kind of get off into that kind of thing. So we can break this stuff down incrementally. We can do percentages. I don't care. But the thing is, I'm not going to reach out to you to help you do that. I want you to reach out to me and let me know you're serious about it, and then I'm going to just snowball it at you. I'm not going to hold anything back, but I want to know that if you check with me on Wednesday or check with me on Saturday or Sunday and go, hey, where you at, Raj? You're supposed to be, you know, letting me know about XYZ. Boom, I'll stop what I'm doing. That's for sure. And Trey said it best. Trey said you got to crawl before you walk. That's true in everything in life. Crawl before you walk. So 100%. But I think you got a lot of support behind you. Sis. You're straight. It's on you, so let's do it.
Let's do it.
No gloves for you.
I plan to bring in the new year smaller. So that's my goal. Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen is, and I'm giving you guys the timeline from right now. Next year, the last week of April into the first week of May, we are going to St. Thomas, Virgin Islands for Carnival. I have said for a number of years that I'm going to get in a troop, half naked, with my feathers everywhere. I'm going
Me
to do
too.
It. And I would
Me
love
too.
For the entire team to go to the islands and let's just have a great freaking carnival week. I'm going to leave it right there.
That's two. That's two of them I'll have to go to, because I'm going to one in Trinidad too, damn it.
Are you talking about that?
Oh, you going to Trinidad in February?
But are you
nice.
Talking about back-to-back? Because, you know, the cruise that we were trying to set up for the annual, is that?
Look, we can still do that. We are going to the Virgin Islands for 1 week. I don't know how. We're going to work
you're
gonna
be there. Then we're going to be there for a
That's
long time right. because the cruise the cruise I got picked out.
Yeah. But remember, that only rolls in the morning, and by evening, it's out. I'm talking about being a whole week on the island, enjoying the locals,
basically is going to be time to get bail money and get out of jail and get back into her feathers. And that ain't going to happen in 24 hours, so we got
to
do what
we
got to do,
dog. She wants us to fly into the Virgin Islands. That's what she wants. Fly in, stay for a week, and then roll out.
Because the when is the cruise? What time?
That's a whole different.
Earlier in.
It's like the second or third week of April, the ones that we were looking at.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Anyway,
we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. Let's keep moving on. What's next?
We'll figure it out. So yeah.
Well,
are we done with fitness?
Yeah, you want CB? You want to set it up?
Oh yeah.
This video.
So
we're gonna run this video right quick.
So this weekend I am flying to West Palm Beach, Florida, for the rebranding of the Estella's Brilliant Bus, which is the organization that is near and dear to us. And we're also partnered and a part of that organization officially now. So I am going to West Palm Beach, and they're having like a red carpet gala. And here is the promotions for that event that we have for you guys. So check it out. An Apple podcast that didn't get to see that, what it was a promotion for the Willie and Estella Pye from Scholarship Gala, and it's also a representing of the Estella's Brilliant Bus Foundation. So everyone looks forward to that. We've got a lot of stuff that is in the works for Estella's Brilliant Bus, things we can't talk about yet. But I will have more to report when I get back next week. I come back on Monday. I leave tomorrow for a 3-hour layover in Detroit. But it's okay because at the end of the day, I'll end up in West Palm Beach, Florida. So, yeah. Whoop, whoop. Anyway, so I look forward to that. Like I said, I'll have more to report when I get back. So some big things coming. So look forward to that.
Oh, Willie P, Mr. Piper, that's my guy. That's my guy. He is an OG, boy. He pulled me to the side like, come here, young buck, start schooling me. That was my dude.
Yeah.
In Florida, boy, that's my guy.
It'll be really interesting when we get to see them again.
Yeah.
That's definitely something to see them again.
Right, well, give my love. What's
yes,
her
I'm looking now? Forward to it. I got my dress to fit.
Uh-oh. And it fits. Yay!
It fits.
We were talking about that yesterday. I was like, look, man, if that thing is too big, just get a damn freaking belt and just put it around there. Bow! And put that shape out there.
You know?
You better speak it in that joint.
Hey, look, there's so much out there.
Don't you hate that joint?
But my thing is snatch the body. Snatch the body. Snatch it. Ew.
Yeah. Georgia, I can relate to.
You know we're on fire
right.
Tonight. We're on fire. Don't yeah, mind me. I'm having a great time. It's all good. That's what we get the tea. Ew. Don't bring
you
it in. We got to find a cuter alien. That alien is ugly.
What you mean?
Oh, Lord.
You don't like my boy?
No. I don't like him at all.
I do. What you got, George, other than don't buy an expensive motorcycle all the time?
That part.
But you notice he bought it.
Too late.
I know, right, right. Don't be like me. That's all right.
Let's go.
Time for George's business tip of the week.
Let's talk. This.
Okay.
We're going to start by my usual. You can find these tips loaded onto our website, bbandtheboys.org, for the programs. Click business tips, and you can see the weekly tips up there at any given time. This one is, this is so important that it is extremely. Did I mention extremely? It's
yes.
Extremely
no,
detailed.
No,
I didn't. Okay. Oh, well, it's extremely detailed. So with that being said, I'm not going to go into those details. Just going to give you a quick run through. And if you're interested in the deep things to be said about all of these 11 steps, you can go to the website and check them out in detail and go through them at your own pace and time. But it is very, very important, because this is a problem that a lot of business owners have, entrepreneurs, when they doing their new thing. And even still, not even new business owners, even old business owners. I run into people all the time that panic over these situations, and I'm just like, seriously, you're overthinking it, you know. So how to control the controllable. This is about the illusion of control. Everybody, a lot of people, they get their businesses because they want to control their own life, control their own income. Well, control is an illusion. Okay.
Already.
Total control is a complete illusion. Never will you have total control. But there's plenty of things that you can control and you will have control of. So these are 11 ways how to control the controllables. Because what happens to a lot of people is there's certain things that they can't control. Then there's other things that they can control, and they just fail to control them. So when you take the things you can control and you don't control them, then when the things you can't control show up, which is usually at the same time when the things you can control is out of control, then you got one huge uncontrollable mess, and your head is spinning, and you don't know what to do. That's when people begin to make bad decisions. And things start to fall apart. So the big takeaway here out the gate is controlling your controllables. So number one, you have to identify controllables and uncontrollables. So sit down, look at what's going on in your business, and say, okay, and just literally make a list of things that you can control. And then make a list of things you can't control. And once you've made that list, then you got to go to step number two, which is accept the things you cannot control. Because I don't care what you own or what you're doing, there's always going to be something that you cannot control. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care who you are, who's in your corner. There's always going to be things you cannot control. So step number two, accept the things you cannot control. Once you've done that, then you can go to step number three and go back to your list and define your action steps. What do you need to do to each of those things in your list? Define the steps you need to do in order to control those things. right? And when you do that, you have to understand what control looks like, okay? And control doesn't always look like you doing everything. You know, you got to slide into step number four. You got to do some things, delegate some things, diarize some things, and dump some things. It's just that simple.
Say that number four one more time because that was deep.
Well, you got to do some things, delegate some things, diarize some things, and dump some things.
Mm-hmm.
And once you break it down like that, you can then go in and declutter your space. Just get rid of clutter. Because you cannot successfully accomplish anything in clutter. And when I say declutter, I'm talking about mentally,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about on paper, and I'm talking about physically. You can't just be operating in clutter. It don't work. And if you think I'm playing, come over in my office and look at it. And then you'll see why. You'll be like, yeah, you can't work in clutter. it don't work. You're bound to have a hiccup. You know what I mean? Hey, clutter caused a hiccup at the beginning of the show today. I can't do nothing but take it. It was all me, you know. But you got to declutter, because if you don't declutter, it's essentially going to cause a problem. And guess what?
Yeah.
That's something you can control.
Mm-hmm.
Then number six, learn to say no. Got to learn who to say no to, when to say no to them. And then you've got to learn to say no to yourself sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn to say no to yourself sometimes.
But I'm so convinced.
You got to learn to say no. So,
practice makes perfect. Okay.
Within those first six steps, you've identified your controllables and uncontrollables. You've accepted what you can't control. So now that's not a problem anymore. It's just off to the side. Whatever you can't control is off to the side, because there ain't nothing you can do about it. It is what it is. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So you've taken everything else and you've broken it down. You've figured out how to deal with it, who should deal with what. Decluttered everything, got it all together. Now you take all that stuff and you prioritize it. Number seven is prioritize. So while you're dealing with whatever it is you created in your list, prioritize. Now, the biggest part, the most important of these 11 steps, number eight, and I've been victim of this. I know lots of people in business have been victim of this, but you have to not be victim of this, period. I don't know what else to say or how else to say it. Number eight, take breaks. Ain't nothing to say about that. Take breaks.
Even if it means going to buy a bike. Even if it means going to buy a new bike. Just take a break.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying. Everybody has their one thing that gives them peace and serenity, and that one's mine.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, seriously, take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ain't got to take 10,000 mm-hmm. breaks. You know, but take a break. Take a couple of breaks.
Yeah.
Because it can all get overwhelming. You just need to be able to sit back, relax, clear your mind, you know, maybe eat something, whatever, and then go back to it. Take breaks. Because then when you take those breaks, what did I just say you might need to do on the breaks? Huh, never mind. Number nine, control your mindset. Taking breaks will help you control your mindset. Number nine, control your mindset. Now, number 10, very, very influential. Very influential. Surround yourself with the right people.
That part.
That really needs to be number one. Shit.
That part.
Out the gate.
Right. It should be number one and number 11.
But,
11, good spiritual numbers, I'm just saying.
But truthfully, you know, surrounding yourself around the right people makes all the difference in the world. You know what they say, birds of a feather flock together. So, surround yourself with the right people, period. And then last but not least, control the information you consume. Because, believe it or not, it's possible to consume too much information. And when that begins to happen, your mind gets cluttered. And then you start second guessing certain things that probably didn't even need to be second guessed. So just control the information that you consume.
Information overload.
Exactly. It is possible. I mean, in this day and age, everything is about information. I mean, why do they call IT business IT? IT stands for information technology. So control the information you consume. The world can start feeling overwhelming very quickly if you are intentional about your media you consume. So you got to be careful. Control the information you consume. That is the 11 tips that I have, and there is some not overwhelming, but detailed information of each one you can find will be available on the website. It'll be available by tomorrow. So usually I try to have these posted up on the website already before the show, but yeah, I didn't make it this time. Bike got in my way. Somebody went shopping.
How about somebody?
I don't know.
What happened is you got caught up?
Yeah, that part.
What happened is I seen that. All righty.
Well, cool.
There you have it. That's what it is.
All right.
And wow, CB, this is
about to be our.
Huh?
I said, you know what time it are about to be.
Yep. While she gets herself prepared for whatever the next dick is, we're going to take another quick pause for the calls.
Hey everybody, it's me, CD. Join us every Wednesday for your midweek motivator, offering you conversation, motivation, music, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. So tune in. Let's talk. Join us as we shake things up and toss things down. CD on the board. Join us for your midweek motivation. See ya.
So, CB, do I need to roll this beautiful bean food footage? You got something for us this week in the
Well, the only thing that I just have for this week is just to recommend to definitely see Top Gun.
Hold on. You can't recommend it yet. You can't recommend it yet.
I can't.
I gotta at least. I gotta at least do this.
Okay.
Hey.
Now let's check out the movie for Crystal C. B. Booker.
Uh-oh. Well, okay.
I like that.
I also said that. Okay. Anyway, so as we know, Tom Cruise reprised his role as Maverick in Top Gun, along with Val Kilmer, who also reprised his role as Iceman. So go see Top Gun. It's a great movie, full of action. The special effects are really good, so definitely check that out. And Jurassic World, which is the latest installment of the Jurassic Park series. It starts tomorrow. I mean, Friday. So, but there are late night showings starting tomorrow night. So if you get in on the late night showing tomorrow night, you have a better chance of getting a seat because from what I have seen, everything is sold out for Friday. Just a FYI. The movie is amazing. The special effects are off the chain. You know, we all ask ourselves, why did they make another one? Well, many reasons. Franchise, money, it all comes down to money. But it actually is a good film. So it's entertaining, fun for everybody. So those are the main movies that are out, the new ones. And then I'll definitely continue to see Doctor Strange in the Metaverse. You definitely want to continue seeing that one. That one is a really good film. It definitely still leaves you confused when you first watch it. Till the end, you still look confused. Like, what did
not
that
confused.
But, it's still a good film. It's very entertaining. Benedict Cumberbatch reprises his role as Doctor Strange. And then you've got some new characters. So definitely check it out. So those are the main movies that are opening that have opened or will open this weekend, so check them out. And that's BBS at the Movies, and I will see you at the movies.
So I got a piece of movie trivia, and I don't know if you went and looked this answer up or not, but I had talked to Chris about this a while back. But I heard it asked, and it's something that puzzled me as a Top Gun fan. To this day, I can still watch Top Gun and love the movie.
Yeah.
And
love it.
Watch it from beginning to end, you know, without interruption, you know. So, with that being said, here's a piece of movie trivia. What was the character's name, not the actor's name, the character's name that was known as Goose in Top Gun? You remember who Goose was?
I get what you're saying.
Are you over there Googling?
No.
Yeah. Are you Googling?
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't have said shit. I just had to know for myself. One of y'all going to say it because I ain't.
All I know was take me to bed or lose me forever. I used to love Meg Ryan. I don't know. What was his name?
That's what his wife said.
Right. Take me to bed or lose me forever. I don't know. I forgot. What was his name?
When I heard the question, it really puzzled me and it made me think about it. And so I actually had to go back and watch the movie just to see how true what they said when I heard it was true. So his name, that character's name is Nick Bradshaw. And they never said his name in the movie. They never did.
Nope.
They showed it. They showed it one time. In the scene,
gotcha.
After he dies, and Tom Cruise is at his house taking some stuff off the desk and boxing some stuff up, he lifts up a picture of him and Goose. He lifts up a picture.
Oh, okay.
And under that picture, on the desk, under the picture, is laying his Air Force patch. And on his patch, it says Goose. And then up under it says Nick Bradshaw.
Yeah, totally
so
missed it. That's
so
cool.
His real nickname is Goose?
No.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards played Goose. But Goose's name in the movie was Nick Bradshaw.
Yeah, the character he played Nick Bradshaw, who was known as Goose in the movie.
That's dope.
And they never said his name. His name was never verbalized in the entire movie, and the only time his name was broadcast in that movie was when Tom Cruise picked up that picture and it showed his patch laying there on the desk.
You know,
and it's only like one second. I had to pause it.
Yeah.
I had to pause the movie right there in order to read it because it flashes up once. You can see Nick something, and then it's gone. Scene is gone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I actually had to pause it.
They call those Easter eggs.
I would have missed it.
Easter eggs. Yeah, well, that was an Easter egg right there.
That's pretty dope. Obviously, Tom Cruise's character, his name was Pete Mitchell.
Pete Mitchell. They said that 100 times.
Right, but what was his dad's first name? Did they ever?
No. Yes, they did. I don't remember. It's a tip of my tongue, and I can't even think of it now.
I'm actually going to go watch it. I'm really not much of a go-to-the-show kind of a guy, believe it or not. I know that's weird, but it's true. you would think I would, but, yeah, I'm going to actually go see that.
Me too.
Yeah, me three.
Jurassic World can sit the hell down, but I'm cool on that,
Shut up. I love all Jurassic, everything.
Until you look out your window and one of them is grazing on your damn palm tree, I bet your ass won't love it then. A fucking ginormosaurus raj is going to be eating all your leaves off your tree and shit. And you're like, you know what? I don't know if I want to see that now.
That is not going to happen. That's what it is.
Watch.
It's not happening in my dream.
I'm going to tell you now. I've seen something like that. I look anywhere and see something of that size. Whatever direction it's going, I'm going the opposite direction. And I'm going to keep going the opposite direction for so long.
Like a tornado,
I'm going to fuck around
like
and go all the way around the world. I'll fuck around and go all the way around the world and come back to him again by accident. I'm going the other direction.
In other words, I don't think George is going
to come back to.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be at one.
You know what?
Hey, look, Rod, I'm not going to be like this.
Look,
believe it or not, Mimi, we're a lot closer than you think. So don't say that. It's a lot closer than you think to being a reality.
I was just about to say, don't let me find out that some of my beautiful Asian people are there on the other side of the world talking about we in the lab doing some shit.
Well, it ain't just them. Trust me, they in cahoots with Germans and Americans, Europeans. I promise you.
Mimi,
look, art imitates life, baby. Art imitates life.
Mimi.
Just understand that. If it's
Mimi.
On the screen, it's because they thought it up.
We did a show before you became regular with us. We did a show one day, and I think we were talking about Jurassic Park or something.
I think
we got on dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And
we
pulled up a bunch of stuff on the internet about these dinosaurs where they actually take dinosaur eggs. They found dinosaur eggs, fossilized,
DNA.
And unfossilized them joints.
Yeah. Look at it this way, y'all.
They were cloning things.
They were starting to clone things in the 60s, and the first cloned animal that was admittedly publicly recognized was Dolly in 1982, which tells you if we're in 2022, mama, I promise you, it's some shit behind those blast doors you do not want to see. That's the real deal.
I don't know if we really need to be on a cruise ship
A Tyrannosaurus or a damn pterodactyl coming swoop. Listen, you little pudding, they going to grab your ass first because Roger's running. I'm out. I'm going below deck or something.
Right. That's what I'm going to say. I'm below deck. Quick. Bam.
I'm out of here.
That's the advantage of being the little people, because your big ass is not going to fit through this door that I'm about to go through. And you might be a big ass bird.
I don't know. You
told
George. You told George. They might grab your ass first. You know. You. They can. You know.
Yeah.
They swoop down and get the tall man. They grab you by your dome, your head kind of egg shaped. They might scoop you up. GG gonna be the head of the.
Bob and weave, nigga. Bob and weave, nigga.
George gonna be the king of the pterodons. Hey, I'm trying to tell y'all, boy. Listen. It's out there.
Like Muhammad Ali, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You can best believe I'm a bob and weave.
Stick and move. That's pretty funny. But scary, too. You know, see? That's gonna get people into getting anti-aircraft shit, trying to shoot pterodactyls and stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on Nessie to die so she can float to the top of the damn lot. That's what I'm waiting on.
You're terrible.
I'm all for it.
Okay, guys. We got to move forward with life. So, CB, what we got? Right. I know we got tonight's topic. Are we ready for it?
Yeah, we are ready. Tonight's
topic.
Are
you ready, Eddie?
We something.
How to avoid killing a dog. That's what tonight's topic is. Anyway.
She didn't mean that, guys.
yeah. So,
rainforest. Hello.
Tonight's topic is, and what prompted this is that one of my white friends apologized to me for being white, and then she was almost in tears, and she announced to me that she's a Republican, and she was afraid to tell me. And so that's what prompted this, because apparently
Roger.
It's the same.
Think she's
hold
funny.
Let's just keep going. Phoebe, go ahead, Mama. Go
nothing
ahead.
To hold together.
Roger, hold on, Roger, hold on. Go ahead, Phoebe, go ahead.
Apparently, it's a thing, and she wasn't the first person who's apologized to me while I was driving Uber. I have passengers, and it's been more than one, who has gotten in the car and then started talking about, you know, the things that were going on in the world. And this one took place when Cheetos was in office, and she was just apologizing for the stuff that he was doing and apologizing for the stuff her ancestors did to my people, as she said. And I was just like floored, like, what do you say to that? What should your response be? And I was like, oh, well, you know, I didn't really know what to say to that. I don't really know what to say to that. And like I said, she wasn't the first person who did it. I had another passenger who got in the car and apologized for being white, and she said that we deserve reparations. And so it was a 30-minute ride, and all she talked about was how black people deserve reparations for what her people did to my people. And I was just like, okay. And all I could do was agree, like, yeah, that's true. And she knew more history than I did, which is crazy. And it was just, it was astonishing to me, because I really don't know how to answer that. You know, what do you say when someone apologizes to you for being something they have no control over? If you were born white, you can't miraculously change your skin color. Well, you could tan it, but I wouldn't recommend it. But I wouldn't, there's nothing you can do. I can't blame you. I don't look at every white person and think, you know what? I bet that they're relative to Robert E. Lee, and they did all this to us, and they're prejudiced, and they're racist. I mean, if that's the case, then every black person is personified, you know, and put in a box as being guilty for being black. You know, if we're the only one in the store and something comes up stolen, then, oh, naturally we did it. So it's kind of like that scenario, in my opinion. You can't vilify every white person because they're white for something that their ancestors did or for something that another person has done. You can't do that. We shouldn't do that. And I know that there are some who do. And then also black fishing comes to mind when you think of the white people who start tanning themselves to become crispy. There is this woman that is on TikTok who tans herself to where she's your color, Roger, but she's a white woman.
Yeah, I know who she is. I know what you're talking about.
And it's insane. And then there is this one girl who was going on saying she was black.
Okay, wait. Can we rewind this a little bit? My bad. I need to rewind just a little bit, Let's rewind to Roger's color part. So one of her parents are black, which is what made her black, because at the end of the day, she's black, or she tanned herself to make herself black because she doesn't want to be white.
Exactly.
That's the one. Bingo.
Oh.
That's it.
Ouch.
Yep.
You know, that doesn't change you unless you just totally, like, change your name and just move to another part of the world where people just think you're black.
I mean, they should have known you would think they would know that doesn't work. I mean, Michael Jackson tried it.
That's attention seeking. That's bullshit. Right.
Mike
went the other way.
Don't go there.
Bullshit. Sammy Sosa did the same thing. Skin lightening and skin bleaching has been prevalent for a long time, just like tanning and all that have. I call bullshit on all of that. Vitiligo, alopecia, don't know your mama. None of that shit rings true. It's just an excuse, and I don't do excuses. Okay?
Yeah.
So let me holler at you on that, though, Crystal. You said you don't know what to say to these people. Let me help you out on that. The first thing you do is acknowledge the fact that, you know what? I appreciate you studying. I can tell that this probably bothers you because on some level you've actually found out just how horrific your people are. And it's just like I said earlier, don't run from the truth. Bad, evil, whatever. Cowards, there's a lot of shit I can utilize to describe them, and I mean every bit of it. Doesn't mean everyone is bad, no, but doesn't mean innately that they have a lot of it inside. Here's the deal. If you grow up a certain way, you can't relate to another way. So if you grow up in a privileged household, if you grow up, there are people that don't realize that food doesn't just show up to their house. They have no idea what a gallon of gas costs, a gallon of milk. They don't know any of that shit because they've never gone shopping. So they can't relate to you, just like they can't relate to being thought of, like you said, as the criminal the minute you walk in a store or an elevator or anything. I still deal with that shit. I go places, I'm dressed nicer. I have better, you know, I have materials with me that show that I'm a professional, and people still look at me a certain way until I open my mouth, and then all of a sudden they realize I'm not asking for anything, I'm not begging for anything. As a matter of fact, I'm here to help you. You're welcome. Then all of a sudden they become friendly because you're one of the good ones, air quotes. So this shit happens all the time. Now, when people apologize, I do think that they are sincerely – they feel bad because they're like, wow, I can't believe we did that. But it kills me that it takes so far into your life to realize what your predecessors have done. And then you go, damn, we really did that? It's more shock than anything to them. See, that's why so often you hear other cultures go, what's the big deal? Just let it go. You know what? I'll let it go when the fucking Jews let it go. They don't let the Holocaust go. They don't let anything go. They claim even though Jesus was the king of the Jews, they sure as hell, Jesus looked more like me than he did like motherfucking Matthew McConaughey. But they're not going to take that. They're going to cherry pick. So if they don't have to let it go, we don't have to let it go. But it's kind of been a universal agreement. If we all turn against them in particular, everyone else gets a pass. It just is what it is. But if you stop and think about it, on paper, and I'm not, it is what it is. On paper, we are fucking superior in almost every way, if not every way. The problem is when that's been cherry-picked and everything's been taken and the credit for it's been taken and spread around the world, it looks as though we are the scabs of the world when we invented mathematics and science. We invented all kinds of shit. We've done everything. But you eliminate that. You erase that. You know, you take those people that helped George Washington cross the Delaware and do what he did that look like me, you take them out of the picture. See, you take all of the people that look like us that helped turn the tide in the Civil War and you erase them from history. So the guilt is coming from people that are more aware of what's really going on. And this is a much more universally accepting generation that we're dealing with now. The past couple of generations have been very accepting of the what used to be called the melting pot, but now they want to call it a salad bowl because white people don't want to disappear, and that's their greatest fear, is that they're going to actually disappear as an actual culture. It is. That's why you have people going through shooting up shit, because they have to stop other cultures from procreating at what they consider an alarming rate. So when you encounter people like that, you don't have to get mad at them. You go, listen, I appreciate the fact that you've done your homework a little bit. You've studied and you've just barely scratched the surface of what people have to endure. But you'll never understand what it's like to walk a mile in my shoes, because you just can't. You flat out can't. Thank you for trying to sympathize, but you'll never understand, because at night you go home, you close your door, you're fine. You wake up, you look in the mirror, and you go, man, whew, I'm glad I don't have to deal with that. But for some of us that have to deal with it every single day, that nightmare never ends. See, you guys, I don't call the police. I've never called the police. I wouldn't. Shit, I got a better chance of just handling something myself or not. I would never call them. Because, again, I don't have the same set of rules that apply to me. And I'm not going to outsource my safety personally or of my family to clearly a group of individuals that have an agenda. Now, I'm not going to get into that because we've already discussed that we're going to cover that another day. But my point is, historically, it goes like that all the time. We get the leftovers. We get the cast off. We get all of that. And we still make the best of it. It's just the nature of this beast. But when they do apologize, say, hey, you know what? You may not have done it, but someone who looks just like you did do it. So make sure you don't repeat it. And how you do that is you take corrective actions to your own behavior, and then you teach just one other person the exact same sentiment and actions and maneuvers that you are going to start to practice and exercise. That's what you say to them. You look them in the face, and you don't get uncomfortable because you can't rattle me. So don't get uncomfortable. You look them right in the eye and go, okay, I appreciate the fact that you're starting to see finally how things really are. And you, again, barely scratched the surface, but what I need you to do is do your part. Once you do your part, then I'll know you're truly sincere. Don't say some shit, feel bad, and cry because you're in my car. Maybe you had a couple of drinks, and then you go home and wake up and go, what the hell happened? No. Let me see. See, I hold your feet to the fire. I told you, I'm an accountability coach. Don't tell me no shit on Monday and then tell me you forgot because you were drunk on Thursday, because I'll recall everything. So that's what you do. You have the conversation. You address the elephant in the room. And you let those people know that, okay, if you really want to, basically, I'm one of those people, you got to prove it to me first. Your word doesn't mean dick to me. But if you prove your actions is everything. It's not, if your words and actions don't match up, basically, you said nothing to me. So once they show that they're willing to take those steps, you have my full support. And I'm absolutely a fan of yours. But until then, get the hell out of here. You're just talking. So that's how you begin that. And that's how we kind of break down these walls. Because it does take good white people and good people of other ethnicities to really help. That's the only way we're going to get pulled along. We can't do it alone, mm-hmm. even though we've tried. It's just the rules of the game don't allow us to do that. So I'm not dumping on them, because without abolitionists and without people that risk their own lives and safety to help Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass, to help Harriet Tubman, we wouldn't be here. So no, I don't say all white people are bad. I say inherently they all have the same evil and they all have the same entitlement, things like that, because, you know, if they are of a certain demographic, it's just true because it's been inbred.
I think that by us acknowledging that not all white people are villains is a start. We can't move forward and cohabitate and share this world if we are caught up in the sins of the past. And that is a problem. Some people are so caught up in that that they can't see the forest for the trees. They can't move forward. And I know the old cliche is you can't, you know, move forward until you look back and know where you've been. But we know where we've been. We all know where we've been. It's been played and played and replayed over,
We don't all know where we have been because do you realize how many people, you just admitted not too long ago that this woman had a vast...
that there was slavery. Everybody knows what was done in the past. Crack a book. It's there. Everybody knows what happened.
Everybody don't crack a book.
Say that again. Everybody don't crack a book. I get what you're saying.
Anyway.
I get what you're saying. But the simple
either
fact of the matter is
either people have been accountability. Under a rock or they don't know. You know, about slavery. We all know about slavery. We all know about the Holocaust.
No.
These things
Why
happen.
Is critical
These
race theory such good. A big hot topic? CRT is a hot topic
because
don't people
want
don't
want to
hear it.
Of what they did. They don't
they
want
don't
to be
learn,
reminded
yeah.
and be held accountable for what happened,
sure.
what they did in the past. That is
yeah,
why
but
people
agree.
Are afraid.
This is the thing.
If we're united, then we're stronger. They cannot
yeah,
beat
of course.
Us. Period. It can. It,
well, sir.
It's not gonna. It's not gonna
but
happen.
We
In
ha-
fact,
we,
the
but we have to know.
Went to the KKK headquarters when they had made this statement that they were gonna start killing black folks at 8 o'clock, and this was, I think. On the 4th, was it, if it was like the 4th of July, it was some significant day, and they said they were going to start killing black folks at 8 o'clock. So the black militia went there to their headquarters, armed to the teeth. They marched.
I mean,
not
agree.
One
but here's,
white
here's the deal.
Person was even in range. They weren't even there.
But that's a good example, but it's an isolated incident. This has to happen, and we can get into that all day long. What hypothetically needs to happen, and there have been things that we have done and that have been unfortunately stepped on. I'm not disagreeing with the unification that you're talking about, but mm-hmm. I like what you mentioned earlier. Accountability is the number one culprit that either is not there or is deliberately overlooked. You're right. For those who committed the atrocities, whether it was them or their forefathers, they don't want to accept, acknowledge, or admit. But the sad part about it, and you don't have to agree, but there's a generation of people that don't have the same knowledge base that maybe was had beforehand, simply because it's not taught, it's been pushed down, it's been squashed, it's been whitewashed. And so, again, we are dealing with a lot less working knowledge of the past. There are things that, you know, I've learned on my own. That wasn't taught in my school. You have to seek that out. I know it wasn't taught in yours. You have to seek that out. And then you go to a different place and you start to learn even more. You see firsthand some things. You go, man, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad. And obviously, not having been there, everyone who gives you a story or gives an example can say whatever. You know, what's up, me?
No. I raised my hand because I am one of those people. You know, I was born and raised in the island. You know, we did not study the slavery and the bad part of what happened then. You know, they had bit, and furthermore, I skipped that class, and that's on me, because I didn't like my history teacher. He liked young girls, and I didn't fucking like him. Anyway, to hell with him. But That was the thing. So I did not get what I needed to get out of
that.
So
imagine how many other people, right? Imagine how many other people didn't like their teacher, didn't like whatever, and missed out.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Of course, a lot of us did. But not only that, then I come to the States in 1990 when I first came to Miami, which is where my daughter was born, and then I started to feel that. You from the islands, but you look like this, but you this like that, and oh, your daughter is black, and oh, you're with a black man, and it was this ugly thing, and I was like, I'm from the islands where you got white, black, Indian, Chinese, damn near everything down there, a whole melting pot, and that's what I was raised with, and it was all love, and then I come up here, and it's that black-white thing, and I was just like, whoa,
that's right.
You know, and then of course I go back home, I stay there another 10 years, then I come back to the States again, and it's still that ugly shit. And I'm like, okay, when does the shit end? And then I really start going back, because then I started going back into history 20 years ago and to see what really happened, when it happened, how it happened, who was shackled, who did this, the masters and the slaves and the ships and all this shit. And I'm just going, this shit is crazy. And then I realized that every year after that, there's a certain time of the year where they start putting movies like Roots on the screen.
It's
and
it's like
this whole ugly cycle over and over and over. It's sad.
Right. But that's when you, okay, cultural appropriation, you have certain, listen, anybody that's got melanin, it can only come from one place. But if you have a different dialect, you can get away with saying I'm such and such, I'm whatever, other than I'm just black. So because of that, listen, Brazil has the largest black population on a freaking planet that's not Africa. But they don't say we're black. They say we're Brazilian. They look just like I do, same hair, texture, same everything, speak Portuguese. But because of that, they get a pass. They actually, they can say they have a country, they have a culture, whatever. Their culture and country is the same shit as mine, but because there's a different dialect, they get a pass. You have to understand that people don't know. And listen, I was in Africa, and there was an African man who was blown away and said, why did this happen to us? Are you shitting me? He was on the damn continent with me. And he said, so when you say everybody knows, no, the fuck they don't. There
right.
are people who deliberately don't or won't see. And when you do that, your history gets lost, your story does not get told, and your children don't know. And then they grow up and they understand.
It's like taking books out of the schools. It's like taking books out of schools or chapters of books or just printing these books because they don't need to see this. That's what happens. You're being controlled. It happens in Africa. It happens everywhere.
Well, what I will say is, I mean, as far as the actual subject matter that we're talking about, like why, or I think because – I look at my daughter. My daughter's funny because she reminds me of me, obviously, but in the sense that I could be at an all-black school. Somehow, some way, I ended up with a white best friend. I went to a 99% black school, had a white best friend. I went to a white school, had a white best friend. It just was what it was. My best friend to this day is half black, half white. It's hilarious. But the point that I make is you love who you love. And so I look in this kid's group. And there's and I love that about nowadays. Nowadays, especially where I live, you see that. You see a Hispanic kid and an Asian kid walking with him, a black kid. I love that mix because these children actually just go, hey, listen, that's my friend. They actually got it right. We are messing that shit up until we decide to teach, but they've got it right. You know, they have it down. You love who you love. You like the skateboard. You play video games. You like science. I don't care what you look like. Unfortunately, the older we get, the more society tells you you can't do that because eventually that person is going to pass you up. The Asian person is going to be better in math. The black person is going to be better in sports or athletics. The Hispanic person is going to outwork you, so they're going to get your job. And they create separatism. And it's up to us to shut that down. And that's the problem. In the home, it's not being shut down because guess what? Their parents are afraid. Their parents' parents are afraid. You know how many times we walk up on people and you know they're afraid of you before they ever see you? Because in their mind they know if something goes wrong, I can't outrun this person or I can't whip this person or maybe this person might sound like they know more than I do and they're going to get the job. People's instincts take over. And if your instinct is fear or to be afraid because you're guilty, and I'm sorry, a lot of it is guilt. I know people use the term a lot, white guilt, but the shit is true. The guilt comes from knowing I have an advantage, I'm privileged, and I don't want to give that up. We talked about a little bit, just a little bit earlier about gun ownership. It's no different than slave ownership. Everybody goes, listen, I handle my guns cool. I'm not crazy. I don't run out there. I'm not giving my gun up. Don't you think they say the same shit about slaves? I don't abuse my slaves. I take care of them. Why should I have to give my slaves up? If it was up to those people, all of us would still be in shackles. Y'all be in a big house with a white baby on your titty because they thought that was okay.
Well, the difference with that is a gun is an inanimate object and slaves are, you know, people. Big difference.
It's a lot more similar than it is different, I promise you. It has nothing to do with which one's alive and which one is not. It has to do with right and wrong. It doesn't matter that one is a person and one is a man-made machine. The point that I'm making is because there's going to be opposition and there's going to be advocacy for both. Slavery was an institution. Slavery wasn't a person. It was an institution, but it utilized us as property. A gun's property, we used to be property. You tell me how much different or how much the same they really are. And that, and that's just going from, you know what I mean? I get what you're saying, yeah. But I'm just talking about, look at the big picture, people's beliefs. You split people right down the middle. So, like, again, when people apologize for being Republicans, don't apologize for being Republicans. I don't give a shit what you feel. Your tax bracket might be different than mine. Mine may be higher than yours. You don't know that, but you think, because society has told you that you need to believe that you should be on this side of the field if you're pro-white or pro-black. That's just a way to divide people. There really isn't a lot of difference, but I don't want to get into politics. Mm-hmm. Lord knows I don't. There's a lot more similarities and differences in that as well.
Well, we have a new addition. Shout out to Michelle Brocco. Welcome. Welcome aboard, Michelle. She sent in a video. She is our resident counselor, certified, and she sent in a video to weigh in on our topic tonight. So here's Michelle Brocco.
Boom. Let's do it.
Go, Michelle.
Are not of color can feel like they can come up. People who are not of color can feel like they can come up and apologize for their race and not understand that that's kind of an insult. Meaning, what are you apologizing for? First of all, if you didn't participate, what are you apologizing for? Second of all, what are you actually apologizing for? For the action? Or are you thinking that this apology is going to give you a free pass just in case you slip up and make a mistake? It's an insult. And bottom line, we don't want to hear your apologies because in its simplest form, an apology is just a way for a guilty party to not feel guilty anymore. People who are not of color can feel like they can come up and apologize for their race and not understand that that's kind of an insult. Meaning, what are you apologizing for? First of all, if you didn't participate, what are you apologizing for? Second of all, what are you actually apologizing for? For the action, or are you thinking that this apology is going to give you a free pass just in case you slip up and make a mistake? It's an insult. And bottom line, we don't want to hear your apologies because in its simplest form, an apology is just a way for a guilty party to not feel guilty anymore. People who are not of color.
Okay. All right. So do you guys agree with that? I would say she kind of hit it. And just so you know, if people are wondering, Michelle is she's half black and half another race. So she's one of us. So she can speak on it. So I definitely agree with what she's saying as far as, like, what are they apologizing for? What is behind the apology? Why would you be
When announcers when people say something crazy and then they jump on news and go, hey, I apologize for what I said, but it's already out there. Isn't that kind of, that's what I felt like she was saying, yeah? It's like, let me say I'm sorry because I'm guilty, but if I apologize, I can go to bed and sleep easy. I feel like she was kind of banging on that drum, and I like that. I agree because it's bullshit. So, what do you guys feel about, listen, and I tease you ladies all the time. I love y'all. I tease y'all all the time because y'all are beige, and I love picking on my light-skinned family. Doesn't that kind of remind you of the whole one-drop rule shit? How do you feel about that? Because think about it. Like, you know, I know I've mentioned this before. Clark Gable was actually what the term mulatto is, outdated and racist, but, you know, he was mixed. He was half. He was 50-50. What they going to call it? He had black blood. But he passed because he was in Hollywood, he was a leading man, he got to kiss white women, he got to do all the shit that you better not do if you right here. You can't be Bojangles doing that. So doesn't that contribute even further, the whole one drop rule? Like, you could have one drop of black blood because that's how they separated. It wasn't that you were beautiful or exotic or different or anything, because you know what? Look at Lupita. I always talk about Lupita because Lupita's fine as shit. Grace Jones was a bad girl, you know, but then you come across and we talk about the Halle Berrys, A-Rods, Mariahs. Listen, beauty comes in all shades, but in order to separate, they had to say, oh, she got one drop. Meghan Markle, all these different people. You guys clearly have a lot of different types of DNA. Because you're not going to have your eye height and your cheekbones and your hair. You're not going to have that shit if you straight out the motherland. But that doesn't mean your dad or your dad's dad or whatever was not. It just means you have codominance when it comes to your genetics. So, see, think about what would have had to go on if you would have had to make a choice 70 years ago. So now for them to come back and apologize for making all those crazy, bogus laws and rules, again, what she's saying makes all the difference in the world. She would have had to claim being a white woman. She could not have acknowledged whatever side is not because of this. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about.
They would have killed me so fast. They would have killed me so fucking fast, let me tell y'all. They would have
You would have been doing this shit, and they would have put your ass in a hot box, Kizzy. They would have put your ass in a hot box like Carrie and Django.
Well, look, they would have been like, we're not going to rape her. We're not going to get no babies out of her. We're going to straight up kill that ass because she is talking too much shit. She's influencing whoever's out there picking cotton, and she out there picking cotton with them. She's doing too much.
But
oh, no,
they'd have you in the gay house right along with me.
I'd be dead.
Y'all have been making mint juleps. Quit lying. Motisha? That's all right. I ain't mad. George would have been fiddling. I'd have had my foot cut off. We know how this story would have ended, goddammit. Oh, God. I'm sorry. But
it's funny to laugh about it, but when you think about it, it's really fucked up.
But this is the thing. There is absolutely nothing that we can do about what happened back then. Absolutely nothing. And I don't know how to even begin to move forward from that shit if everybody's not on some sort of page.
Honey, education. We all have the ability to look people in the eye and go, listen, you respect me, right? You respect my opinion. You hold me in a certain regard. So each one of us has a circle, and in that circle you are an influence. And don't get me wrong, and we all have to see and deal with people outside of that circle, which means you always have an opportunity to have a teaching moment. You just can't freeze up on it. I don't give a shit if I rolled up on Bill Gates, Elon Musk. I don't care. I'm going to school you when it comes to this. I'm not going to get belligerent because I don't have to battle you that way, but I am going to make you understand no matter what you say, A, you have no relatability to what I've gone through. Don't tell me you were hungry twice in college because your parents cut your credit card off. I'll stab you. But you don't understand what it's like to have your family broken up and taken away and all. You don't. And, again, neither do I for that matter, but I think about the stories and the things that we have seen and learn if you deliberately educate yourself. And, I mean, when you read that stuff, when you go see some of the ill effects of slave cabins and things like that, it just gives you
yes.
a small inkling of, wow,
yes.
this acts. But here's what I will say, and this is going to sound crazy, but it's true. Without all of that happening, none of us would be sitting right here. Now look at your life and imagine if you lived in a hut by the river, the Candy Belongo, and you had a pot on your head, because guess what? Had all of that shit not occurred, we wouldn't be here. So you see how, unfortunately, the phoenix has to rise from the ashes. I'm just so glad mm-hmm. that I didn't have to endure that. But for everybody who did, like I said, even if you're not a praying person, you have to pray for them, because without their sacrifice, you wouldn't be sitting here. There would still be, you know, one continent full of peppercorns, a continent full of salt grains, and a continent full of popcorns. I mean, you just would not have what you have had this not occurred.
No.
I'm just glad I wasn't there to witness it. But it had
yeah.
to happen. It had to happen.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
doesn't mean, doesn't mean I'm going to forgive your ass. It doesn't mean until you start to do what you need to do to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm going to sweep it under the rug. Like I said,
right.
you know, it took a long time for Japanese to forgive Pearl Harbor. The Jews still haven't forgiven yeah. the Holocaust. So kiss my ass. I'm not just going to let slavery go. I'm just not going to do it. And it's not that I was enslaved, but it's the fact that it's not even about slavery. It's about the treatment and the thought, the mindset. If the mindset changed, then we could say, okay, it happened, but here we are. But that mindset has not changed. That superiority complex, that God complex, that entitlement, it hasn't changed. I take every opportunity I can to educate somebody of a different culture. And if not, then I'll ask if I have to. But you're not going to treat me a certain way because you once could. You can't now. My pride ain't for
right.
sale. My self-esteem isn't for sale. My dignity is not for sale. So that's really the be all and end all of that.
Yep. Well, everybody, this has been a great show tonight. Obviously, we're not going to solve that question tonight, but we will definitely continue at another later date. Hopefully, everyone, and thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. Everybody, go ahead and say your goodbyes.
Well, I was gone last week. Missed you guys. It's good being back. I know it made me studying. George is daydreaming about his bike. So anyway, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. I'm out.
Guys, one love. God bless. See you guys next week. And yeah. Hey, shout out to iCredit Management. And all my beautiful sponsors. And Trey, thank you for hanging on as long as you hung on. And, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I was chatting through our chat app for my website. We have people that are, they go to the website, watch the show or whatever, and then they start chatting with that chat on the website. That just goes to us and not to the show. So trying to explain
right.
that.
Right.
I know, right?
Right.
But
yeah,
I bet I could read that 15% interest rate they hit us with, though. But right, yeah.
Stop the music.
That part. But in the meantime, thanks for watching. Peace, love, and hair grease.
All right. All right, thank you so much for rocking with us tonight. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday for your Maybe Motivator, bringing you music, motivation, laughter, and a whole lot of fun. Hopefully you got motivated tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed the show and you really, really came away with something. We had a great topic tonight. And we will be back next week. To take us home, we have BTS Butter. It'll be on for 2 minutes. And here we go. See you next week. Bye.
Smooth like butter, like a criminal undercover. Don't pop like trouble, breaking into your heart like that. Ooh. Cool J Stunner, yeah, owe it all to my mother. High like summer, yeah, making you sweat like that.
Break it down.
Ooh, when I look in the mirror, I'm not too hard to do. I got the superstar glow, so
ooh,
do the booty. It's a spice that when I left with my beat.
Thank y'all for using Raj to talk them out.
One love.
See you in a boy.